And where's it going to end? Our love is just another broken down motor car. I need your help to get it back on the road. It's brought us such a long way. Still go far, but for the fact that the engine is cold. If you love me, why don't you get out and help me push? We could get it started if we really wanted to. I know the steering's not much good, but we can get it fixed. All it needs is just a little. Just another broken down motor car. Our love is just another broken down motor car.
Rhetorical question by Clifford T. Ward. Where is it going to end?
Annette Andre, ace actress and top correspondent, now live on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, exactly. And we're bringing the beginning, the ending, the beginning. Annette, welcome to your first official audio missive of 2017.
Ah, thank you. It's good to be here in the new year.
Well, last week, of course, your fabulous husband, Arthur Weingarten, impressed almost beyond words Holly McGrattan and Kaylee Umphraville, to the extent that they've returned this week just to listen to your words of wisdom. Is that right, Kaylee? Is that right, Holly?
100%.
Yeah, exactly. We also have, from Stettin in Poland, though she lives in Bury St. Edmunds these days, the wonderful Martina Fiaker.
Hello.
And Natasha Armstrong, who is basically just eagerly, keenly awaiting the sort of excitement. Because, Natasha, you were over in America back in the last days of the Obama presidency.
Yes, I was. Flew back just on the second, so.
Get out of the country now! It's very important. And where are you going to take us today with this latest little missive from the joys of just outside San Diego?
Ah, well, I'm taking into the mysteries of ignorance. It pays to be ignorant. The Sally in question here is a bear of a man with heroic stubble, a thick Slavic accent, and when we meet him in a commercial for a credit card, he's cooking his meal over an open fire in a rude hut shared with a goat munching a telephone book and chickens littering the dirt floor. A phone rings, and as he stirs his food, the man replaces his grim glower with an engaging smile and answers brightly, "Hello, this is Sally." Welcome to the new reality that's been making news lately, or at least a kind of sort of news, where truth is often the last ingredient, if included at all. The commercial, a light-hearted parody of the Indian call centers, is a confirmation that globalization has neutralized consumer expectations and normalized behavior that once was reserved for the most outrageous of the tabloid press, when banner headlines confirmed that Amelia Earhart's aeroplane was discovered on the moon and Cary Grant's birth certificate proved he was born a female. Once read and taken as gospel by millions, the slander sheets have been usurped by a free-fall internet and the fake news industry. The thought of Donald Trump seated behind Abraham Lincoln's desk in the White House triggered a memory of my husband Arthur, early in our marriage, reading a newspaper and humming the same dreadful tune over and over. "What's that dirge you keep moaning about only when you read the paper?" I demanded. "It's called It Pays to Be Ignorant," he said, and then proceeded to sing the theme song of a popular radio show he'd listened to as a kid. "It pays to be ignorant, to be dumb, to be stupid, to be ignorant. It pays to be ignorant, just like me." Apparently, the premise of the show was to exploit the considerable conceit of ignorance happily offered by the panel's self-appointed experts, all with colorful names like Lulu McConnell and Senator Egg Claghorn. "Who's buried in General Grant's tomb? And how many 3-cent stamps in a dozen?" were typical of the brain twisters challenging the contestants, who actually never got around to answering the questions while they veered off into wild, hilarious riffs that touched on news events of the past week, all delivered with a supreme disregard for the facts. And so, for every story Arthur read in the paper that exhibited similar qualities of unchallenged dumbness, he'd absently hum the show's theme song. Now, fast forward from the 1940s to 2017. And I wonder why there is no It Pays to Be Ignorant on the air today. Well, it can't possibly be for lack of suitable material. Take the pizza parlor sex slave story that rode the news cycles for days just before the U.S. elections. Reported first on a right-wing internet site, the story exposed a child porno and sex slave operation run by Hillary Clinton in the basement of a popular pizza parlor in a Washington, D.C. suburb. Within hours, propelled by Trump supporters, convinced that Hillary was always open to picking up some loose change by any means, the fake gained breaking news status and was picked up by media around the world. Investigative reporting by the major newspapers and broadcasters, as well as multiple interviews with the pizza parlor's owner, all refuting the ludicrous accusation, did zip to squash the outraged calls for Hillary's head. It would have been just another example of the loony spin on reality that Trump has disgorged, except for a wannabe Rambo who traveled hundreds of miles in combat fatigues and armed with an assault rifle. He invaded the pizzeria and fired a volley of shots with the intent of freeing the dozens of child sex slaves being held captive in the basement. After his arrest, he told the police that, well, the intel wasn't up to snuff. It's really more than a sane person should be asked to handle. 4 years of Donald Trump pretending to be President of the United States, all the while unsuccessfully hiding his imperial fantasies. Something has to be done. And fortunately, I think I may have the answer. Trump never seemed happier and more in control of his bratty inner child than when he was hosting The Apprentice, the show that allowed him to give vent to his demonic nature and get paid for it. Now is the perfect time to bring back It Pays to Be Ignorant and offer Mr. Trump the excuse he's been looking for to exit the White House and once again make use of what he calls his good brain, the one that would allow him full rein of his vast supply of ignorance and make a profit to boot. Fingers crossed, with any luck, if this scheme works, I just may have put myself in line for a Nobel Peace Prize. Oh, by the way, I've tweeted this gem of a notion to both the Trump Tower and the White House. Well, not that I'm worried, but if you don't hear from me in a few days, you just might give the FBI a jingle.
Nice, like what you did there, Annette. And a musical version as well. It pays to be ignorant. Ignorance, genius. Why you weren't contacted to actually sort of take over from the America's Got Talent singer who actually helped launch the inaugural thing, I just do not know. You know, clearly, the message is there in full from that point of view.
I mean, it just sort of fell into my lap. I couldn't believe it. I suddenly thought, gosh. You know, I said to Arthur, what's that jingle you always used to, and tell me about the show again. Yeah. And of course, I remember he's always talking about it. He thinks it's wonderful whenever someone comes on the television or whatever it is in such stupidity. He drags that out and runs around singing, it pays to be ignorant.
Well, of course, there is my other little pet theory, as echoed by Neil Purvis and Robert Wade, the writers of some of the recent Bond movies, that actually actually the alter ego Donald Trump. In fact, he is Stavrel Blofeld, except his white cat is all on his head. It's just a thought. I know, very strange.
It's not orange. That's the trouble. The cat is white, not orange.
Yeah, orange hair. Natasha, thoughts on Annette's little missive there?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you need to go into the musical business because that was wonderful. That was great, your little number there. secondly, so what do you think? Would you say in this sort of era that people are too ignorant, or do you think that it would be better if people were ignorant, or what are your views on that general?
Really not. No, I think they're becoming dumber and dumber, frankly. But on the whole, there are an awful lot of very intelligent people around, and they're the people that are here and starting to. Well, there are movements starting. You know, we've got to stop this man or do something about it.
You've got to build a wall and put it behind it. Oh,
all the big marches on Saturday last. I actually went to one of those marches. I was there.
Well, as I said,
and
President...
are seeing that, you know, this can't go on. This man is, and it's talked about all the time, that he is actually pretending to be, I say pretending, but that's what it seems like, to be the President of the United States. And he is completely ignorant. He knows nothing about anything.
Maybe he's just a very good actor. Maybe he's just a really good actor. He's got us all sort of fooled. And in the front cover of The New Yorker, which you were kind enough to send me from January 2017, there he is, Donald's driving his little car with his security guards behind him. It's almost right. Satirical, isn't it, Martina? You know, you'd almost say this is satire for the 21st century.
Sociopath, and that's what sociopaths are very good at. They're very convincing.
Yeah. So is your mother worried at all, Kayleigh, given that you're thinking of moving from Essex back to Vermont in America?
They are very worried, but they're trying to weigh out all their options. But hopefully things go well for them. But it is quite a worrying and a massive factor for them at the moment. So.
See, that's the Kayleigh Umfraville challenge, Annette. Do they stay...
So what is it? Your parents are moving back, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, to here?
Yes.
Is this because they can no longer stand the British Isles and our wonderful weather?
Oh, my mum wants to go back home.
And when your mum wants to go back home, Annette, clearly, you know, the child has no say in the matter whatsoever, even though they're...
Well, that's it. You see, that's it.
It's a different line. Holly, any thoughts or questions for yourself?
No, I think everyone is quite ignorant at the moment. Just... Mm.
So
our
it does
kind of
pay,
generation is a bit lazy on that front, so it's a good point.
A shocking damnation.
I think what's worrying is the fact that one of the points that we brought up there is that this fake news that's going around, which of course started on the internet, and people, some of the terrible tabloids will pick up and do that, but the newspapers are refuting all those things, and they come out with facts. Facts are getting lost through mostly through this man and through the, you know, the, you've had problems over with the Brexit thing and everything. I mean, they're, you know, lies are becoming the norm, and it's and fake news. So I think in some ways, because Arthur has said this, and that it, this could be a wake-up call to people and start real investigative reporting again, real investigative reporting, because it was starting, they were starting to get very complacent, and I think it was going a little bit, you know, Arthur knows more about it than I do, frankly, about that. But this could be a bit of a wake-up call to all those, the reporting of things and truth and everything else. Let's hope it is.
It'll work out for the best, I'm sure. Natasha, as a journalism student, are you worried at all? Are you thinking, no, actually, I've made up a lot of stuff in any way, shape or form?
I have never made
exactly.
anything up
I
and
knew,
published it,
I
Alex.
Knew you'd respond to that one. So, quite right.
No, I hope it's just a wake-up call for people, really. I've heard a lot of reports, I know particularly going around social media at the end of 2016, people saying, oh, look, 2016 has happened, but, you know, it's not, you know, the end of the world. We can build on this, not, you know, Armageddon hasn't happened yet. We can still move forward. We can learn from this. Whether or not we actually choose to is another issue, but
I'm sure the Atlanteans, the Egyptians, the Toltecs, the Mayans, they all went through the same thing. It's the end of the universe. Celebrate and rejoice. Anyway, and let's follow the Trumpster into a whole new world. Only kidding. Annette, Natasha's going to ask you those last two questions. Go, please, Natasha.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, yes.
Excellent. And can we see you again on the show?
I hope so. I hope so next month. The month after, I'll be in London.
This is it. So are we still looking to be good to go for some time in March, you actually being in the studio with us again?
Well, I don't think March, because I don't get there till the 12th. And then I've got two memorabilia shows to do.
Well, so we may not.
I'll be there until May, so we'll
sometime in the next few days, because otherwise, you know, Natasha will be graduating before too long. It's a nightmare in every sense.
You have to give me something to hope for.
Exactly. I have that optimism that's going through.
When are you graduating?
I'm leaving kind of, I think I finish on the, about the 11th, so.
Of June.
Of May, yeah.
May. Let's not wish our lives away. Annette Andre will
on
return.
The 11th of May.
Yes, telephonically at least.
Oh, that's right.
It'll be splendid. It'll be good. We will all be good. Coming up next, hopefully, Rachel Abbott.
Bye, Johnny. Don't you slip up.
From the Sky News Centre at 6.
Oh, no, Ma. Oh, no, Da. I'll be your golden boy. I will obey every golden rule. Get taught by the teacher not to daydream. Get taught by my mom.
Football with you, John? No? Oh. You must be going to play cricket this year, then, are you, John? Nah. Well, you sure are a funny kid, Johnny. But I like you. So tell me, what kind of boy are you, John?
I only like dreaming all the day long.
Australians, men at work, thank you. Be good, Johnny. Maybe we haven't quite connected with Rachel Abbott. Let's just see. Is there a response?
Hello.
There it is, Rachel Abbott. You see there? We knew that if we tried again, we would actually get the awesomeness who, as we said in the first part of the production, actually came up with the legendary phrase.
You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM, guaranteed to keep you safe from giant lizards.
Go, Rachel. Here we are. Welcome back to the programme. Even though you have managed to, every time we've had a London trip, including the boat show, you've said, no, I'm not interested in that. I'm just going to avoid him completely.
Hey, I'm not avoiding anyone.
They're quite rightly so. Rightly so.
I didn't know that you were going to be at the boat show, Alex.
Yeah, well, you know, it's an annual thing. And we. Outrageous. We're going to have words with the rest of the team. And you are a Westminster University graduate. You should clearly have actually got that invite to the boat show and got sort of messages across for the whole thing. Anyway, because otherwise, you know, we would have been into a whole range of other sort of factors. I mean, for instance, there's always this little number that your deputy, also from Australia, had to emerge with.
Hi, this is Gemma Bath. You're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM.
Is Gemma still talking? Gemma did all the stuff, etc. And indeed, we started the campaign to say, just because you're Australian doesn't mean you can't actually read the news on British broadcasting.
She's here, you know.
Is she?
I can do it too.
Oh, my. Let's hold fire for a moment. It's too much excitement at one stage, okay. Rachel. Will be just too much from that sort of point of view. Rachel, we have in the studio, let's just break them down into, a bit like E17 Drama School. We have to break them down to build them up again. No, it's okay. We have two fine journalism students, one level one journalism student, originally from Szczecin in Poland, now from Bury St Edmunds. That is the wonderful Martina Wiejka.
Hello.
Hi.
Also got Natasha Armstrong, who's a final year journalism student, doing her dissertation on the delights of scandal and coverage in the royal family and coverage of the royals. Ooh. And all sorts of things.
Yeah.
Drama.
Hi there, Rachel.
Hi.
And then we have two media production undergraduates from level two. So level one, two and three, all represented here. Kaylee Umfraville. And you're reading what, Kaylee?
At the moment, Marshall McLuhan's book, Understanding of the Media.
Marshall McLuhan's Understanding of the Media, Global Village, The Medium is the Message, or sometimes The Medium is the Massage, but we won't go there at this particular time of the evening.
That's way too complicated for me, please.
And Holly McGrattan,
yep.
And your dream, having done a documentary on life on the Brayford, which is going to win lots of awards, I'm sure, as it's tucked away from that point of view, is to work as what kind of wonderful individual?
I would like to be a visual video producer, like, you know, with the visuals. Okay.
A visual producer with the visuals. She's from Brighton, wow. Rachel. What can I say? You know?
It'd be helpful to see in the video, visually.
Exactly. It very essential for her. Rachel, share with us your own career path as a graduate of Westminster. Was your degree journalism or was it media? Or was it communications?
It was radio production with a media theory.
Nice.
Side to it. So it was a BA honours.
Uh-huh.
But before that, I did a BTEC at the Brit School in South London, which was funded by...
Sorry about that. I was just bursting in without so much as a by your leave. Don't worry. It's all right. Sometimes... just carry on. It's true friends. Carry on.
Yeah. What was that?
Listen, sometimes the joys of Mr. Computer just spurt something out there and you just think, how rude. You know, how Jar Jar Binks of it to actually do that.
Yeah.
It's outrageous.
Funded.
Exactly. I know it's the Rachel Abbott talking. Carry on, Rachel. Yeah, I'm listening, but anyway.
I will, thank you. Yeah. I did a broadcasting digital BTEC at the Brit, which was really fun to start off with. That was the home. I was in the same, or the year below Adele, so she went there. And then uni, did the radio degree and started interning at uni. And then got a paid job from that.
And now you are producer and studio manager at the awesomeness that is On Broadcast. Tomorrow the listener can actually hear one that you produced that we recorded earlier in the week with neuroscientist Dr. Jack Lewis. Author of the best-selling book Sort Your Brain Out. I think it's important.
Yeah, I've got that. Yeah,
it's good. Sort Your Brain Out now.
My brain needs sorting.
The upcoming Mice Who Sing.
Alex,
yes, yes.
Wrote Bio wrong. That's already come out.
Yeah. What?
Yeah.
He's already written then. The
he's already
published,
written it.
The published.
I don't know why it said that in the queue.
I'm just reading what Umbrotos have got me. I just bigged up the organisation. Don't tell me you're giving me dodgy stuff to read online. Anyway, I'll just rephrase that. Obviously, edit the podcast or something on this sort of basis. The recently published classic to be Mice Who Sing for Sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They actually do. I never knew that.
Yeah, these are cutting edge scenarios. Like, and it's like a mating call.
Yeah.
Mice Who Sing for Sex.
Yeah.
Just goes to show. Anyway, you'll be able to listen to Dr. Jack Lewis and indeed Simon Ransom, the head of banking at Sainsbury's Bank, talking about how we have to praise people more. Or we should be praising people more often. When was the last time you were praised, Rachel?
I don't know.
Well, we're praising you now for actually just being on the show. That's the important thing. Praise you for that sort of thing. It's very essential.
I hope that's the next track that you have ready.
Bit of a cliff stick now. Do we play Praise You or do we actually go to Paolo Morena with news of his latest musical release? I feel as though we're kind of duty-bound to keep it real with respect to Paolo. I know it's a challenging line, but, you know.
Paolo Nutini?
No, actually, Paolo Morena. And I know you're kind of keen to actually find out what pray tell has Paolo Morena actually come up with in terms of his latest single, which has also sort of got him back on the show after he provided a wonderful tribute to David Bowie. Well, a bit of background here. Classic Rock magazine have actually said if proof were ever needed, the mainstream sort of produces this a wonderful, amazing man. Paolo Morena was born to be a musician. It's in his blood. His grandfather and father were both accomplished musicians who played in bands in southern Italy, where the family originates from. Paolo's uncle Tino was even world champion accordionist in 1969.
Wow.
Following a failed relationship at the age of 17, Paolo ran away to Amsterdam, the pivotal moment of his life. Amsterdam at the age of 17 was an incredible city to be living in. Working in a coffee shop by day and playing in bars by night, Paolo came into contact with all manner of people and sounds that were to give him the foundations of the music career that followed.
Wow.
So, you know, he will be sort of coming up in the programme. But meanwhile, Natasha, any questions that you'd like to put to Rachel, producer extraordinaire from On Broadcast? And if that doesn't give her a pay rise, I don't know.
Yes. I was just thinking, it's interesting that you chose, you know, radio to specialise in. What do you think has got radio, you know, still popular after all these years, despite the fact we've got, you know, television, all the visuals and that? What do you think keeps people coming back for more?
I think it's quite a personal and private experience, and I think that's what intrigued me. It's creative, but it's it's a media tool that you can get lost in, and you can still get on with things whilst you do it. And actually, I think, if I'm right, I might be wrong, I think some research that came out last year showed that that actually people listen back to radio a lot more than live. I think listening again is an option people like. I don't know, there's something quite secretive and special, and that's what I like about it.
You can listen back to Rachel's first ever interviews just via the podcasts. It's there, you know, they're locked into place. That's a magical
stuff. I hope that made sense, what I said.
Rachel, you always make sense, even though you might not think it at the time. It kind of connects together. Wonder, you know, furthest north, I believe Rachel has actually been. She once went to the joys of, was it Huddersfield, Rachel? Or was it some part of Yorkshire that we thought, where did you end up? And she said, is that very far from Lincoln? I said, yeah, sort of 80-odd miles.
No, it's Peterborough.
Peterborough, yeah. Peterborough.
I ended up in Lincoln Blooming Hospital.
Why did you end up in Lincoln Hospital, Rachel? Share with us.
I was pretending someone was a horse and I fell off their back and damaged my shoulder.
Oh. See, these are the kind of action-adventure things that the On Broadcast team actually do on a regular basis, which is why they need as much praise as possible. And relax. I think Natasha's going to ask you those last two questions now, because that's what she's...
The famous ones!
Well, I know you love them, Rachel, and that's the important sort of thing, because it not only keeps the world safe from giant lizards, but it opens up a whole range of factors. So, go, Natasha.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this evening?
Yes!
Excellent. And can we entice you to come back again sometime soon?
Yes.
Wonderful.
happen. And time, I think, for some Paolo Moreno. Splendid. Still as good as when we played it last year. Don't you think so, Natasha?
Oh, yeah.
Dance David Dies. I'm looking at a video now. It says, who is Paolo Moreno? Singer, songwriter, all manner of marvellous things. Paolo Moreno, welcome back to the Midweek Drive, 21st century one-man band.
Hello, how are you all?
Delighted to touch base with yourself. We've just shared the heartrending tale of how a failed romance and failed relationship led you to head off to Amsterdam, where you were duly influenced into all sorts of other areas, and now you are the awesomeness that is Paolo Moreno. And I'm actually, I think, looking at your lips and fingers clicking on this slightly surreal video, which we're kind of... It's marvellous. Who is Paolo Moreno? It's great.
How are you doing? Thank you very much. Nice intro.
Well, you know, we always like to ensure that the artist is given full and appropriate recognition, particularly when we've got four fine folk in the studio: Kaylee Umfraville, Holly McGrattan, Natasha Armstrong, and Martina Vieca. So, excellent stuff there.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Actually, they could be doing it. We could have had an hour and 17 minutes of the worst experience of their entire life as the show's been proceeding. Hopefully not, but I don't know. You can never tell these days. We've just been talking about mice who sing for sex, which could be another a title for your next album. But
that
still
sounds like a song, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, what a good idea. I'm singing in the studio right now.
he'll be there. He was. Kayleigh was very excited because she thought, oh, he's from Essex. I said, no, you're performing in Essex, Kayleigh. That's the point. You know,
I'm from Essex. I'm from Chelmsford originally. I left home when I was about 16, 17 and ended up travelling for about 10 years and ended up back in Chelmsford, back in Essex because my family are all here and it makes life a little bit easier when you're trying to work on stuff to have family and that around, so.
So you say it's Essex Central on that
yes.
basis.
Yeah, deepest, darkest Essex. I do a YouTube channel and we say my studio is called The Studio at the End of the Universe because sometimes it really does feel like I am at the end of the universe here. But stone's throw from London and stone's throw from the countryside, so it's quite a good balance, if I'm honest.
And what musicians get up to in Epping Forest, I just can't say at this particular time.
Just don't go there.
All kinds of things.
Unless you're into that kind of thing, in which case, make a beeline as soon as you can.
Exactly.
But maybe wait for the warmer
weather. We're not endorsing, we're not criticising, no, we're just saying, let it be, as the Beatles once
said.
Exactly
right. If you don't hurt anyone, you're good with me.
We are about to hear the amazingly wonderful latest Paolo Moreno track. Are you excited, Holly?
I am very excited, yes.
Are you excited, Kayleigh?
I'm very excited.
Natasha, are you excited?
I am on the edge of my seat in anticipation, Alex.
Martina, are you excited?
Thank you, lady.
I loved the last one, so I'm excited for this one as well.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm sitting here very excited with the four of you.
So, Paolo, would you like to formally introduce this awesome treasure in the trash, which is about to be played?
This is a song kind of like a sort of political push. I don't know. It's written about things that we throw away, about exactly what the title suggests, finding treasure in the trash, and not everything has a value that can be added to money. So this is going to be for my new album, The 38th, and this is Treasure in the Trash. I do hope you love it.
There are stars in the gutter, hopes down the drain, as the pessimists whisper about the coming of days. Tears on the faces, wounded by pride, a mixture of races. What's a new place to hide?
documentary musical magic there. Let's go straight to Natasha. What did you make of Treasure in the Trash?
Well, I loved your previous song, but oh, you've just gone and blown me away. You've melted my heart. That was such a good... Oh, where can we download it from?
Different level.
You can find it on my website, and it's going to be very short on Spotify, so you'll be able to get it on iTunes or Spotify, put it onto your streams. But my website is paolomorena.com, so paolomorena.com, and you'll be able to grab a copy there. Otherwise, you can have a look. At the moment, it's kicking about my Facebook page, so you can always catch me there.
I'm just about to like it now, and it's done. It's done now. We've done it. We've not gone unlike. We officially have liked Paola Morena, Woo-hoo! The Mighty Small, on Facebook, but still three judges to consider. So let's go to Kaylee Umfraville.
Oh, I thought it was so relaxing. I loved it. Just so chilled.
Sort of thing you need to listen to when you've actually been out in the early hours of the morning handing out leaflets, you know, to club goers.
Yes,
so effectively
just to tone down.
If you like that, there's a track on my website or on my Facebook page called Clear Waters, No Worries, and that really is a chilled Sunday morning track. You'd love that one. But anyway, sorry, continue. Have a good one.
Go for that. Holly.
Yeah, no, I'll check that one out. Sunday morning.
Thanks.
Coffee break, yeah.
And Holly, being a sophisticated lady from Brighton, obviously she doesn't give those sort of words just easily.
Oh, thanks. I'm looking forward to getting down to Brighton to play, so we should be down there sometime in the summer.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So, and from the international perspective, i.e. Barry St. Edmunds or indeed Stettin in Poland, Martina, what are your thoughts?
When you said Treasure in the Trash, I thought it was going to be something completely different, but you positively surprised me and it just melted my heart. It was so nice.
Oh, thank you very
melted
much.
Martina Vieca's heart.
Thank you.
You can catch Paolo live at the United Brethren in Chelmsford.
That's right. I'm coming back home to visit some people and play to the home crowd who I haven't played to for a few months now. So please pop down. It's a fantastic little venue tucked away in Chelmsford.
Exactly, January 28th. How are you familiar with this venue, Kaylee?
I am. I'm not far from Chelmsford, so...
Well, clearly.
Pop down. It's a great bar, actually. It's got new management in there, and there are aficionados on gin. If you're into your gin, you'd be pleased to know, pop down there, because they've got a fantastic selection. And a great host.
You've got gin, you've got Paola Morena. It's just super sensational. Exactly.
You're there, yeah.
Obviously, Electric Jam presents Paola Morena as well. That's in Chelmsford on February the 10th. We've got Paola Morena live at the bar. All of these things, even the Mulberry Tree in Ipswich, free house, are all connected with respect to Paola Morena and obviously Facebook sites, etc. It's been awesome. You know, Tony McDonough, our clear Sheffield Wednesday supporting soul. I mean, he obviously he knows the good band, knows the new musician. Holly, last two questions, please, for Paolo, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Absolutely. It's been lovely chatting to you all. It's been the thought of having four ladies on the edge of their seat has been wonderful and made my day. Yeah. And I'm so pleased that you like the song. I put so much, everything of me I've put into these songs, especially into the lyrics, because I like people to take more than just the first impression away from the song after they've listened to it a few times. So I'm glad it had the desired effect.
It's a round of applause for Paola Morena.
Yay!
Thank you.
And the next question?
Will we be hearing from you in the future on our
the
radio?
Show? Will you retire?
That's a bit talking to you again. Yeah, of course you will. Absolutely. There's lots of exciting things in the pipeline coming up, including, I'm hoping, a collaboration with DJ superstar Brandon Block. But I'll know more about that when I catch up with the fellow in February. So hopefully there'll be some cool and slightly different tracks coming out from here as well. And definitely I'll be back. I'll shout you when I've got the next single ready.
Paola Morena will be back on the show with all sorts of wonderful Italian Essex connections. It's astounding.
Yeah.
All this in the Chinese New Year as well. Hey ho.
Hey, it's a wet year.
It's just wonderful. One celebration after another thing. Yay!
Another reason to party.
Yeah.
So that would be from the album Back to the Egg, and that would be Wings with Old Cyamsa, one of the rare tunes which features Walthamstow and Scarborough in the same lyrics. Bill Cole's fans, worry not, we're sure he's out there, but we haven't been able to connect with Edinburgh. But the good news is we don't have to worry about the Mongol Challenge and the Mongol Derby and so on, because our regular 6:30 contributor is about to emerge like a wonderful butterfly across the ether. After he's actually had his 6-inch action model made, he's had his 3-day head scan. What do you mean you haven't had a 3D head scan? Surely everybody in the United States is getting 3D head scans these days. It's how you got the presidency situation. It's Phil Leonis. How are you, Phil?
People, I don't know whether... I think radio just went from, what was it, a hot medium to a cold medium, because people have to interpret everything you just said. Thank you, Alex, and thank you for that oddly beautiful recap of this week's episode of my podcast I do with Dean Haglund, your Chill Pack Hollywood Hour. I will tell you, though, apropos of what you said, if I understood it, I got an email today that I came close to deleting because it was clearly some kind of spam. The subject heading was Mothers Can Make $629 a Day from Home. So it's some kind of advertisement for mid-level marketing, probably. Most amusingly, it came from someone named President Trump.
Nice.
And so, of course, I was going to delete it, going, oh, well, this is spam. But here's the odd world we live in. I have no way of knowing whether or not this actually did come from President Trump. I really can't rule that out.
And that is one of those pause for thought moments, which is, you know, he may not have been able to caught Annette Andre's audio missive, which addressed this whole issue. It was a musical version as well, Phil. You know, she actually broke into song midway through the whole
thing. Yeah, I heard the very tail end. That was it. That was all I got. And of course, I have a question. I need to send you to send to her because I think I caught an audio cameo that she did in a very influential film in the late 60s, and I want to find out if for a fact that was her. So that'll be very exciting for people to tune in.
It kind of keeps us on the edge, a bit like Paolo Morena's music. It keeps us on the edge of excitement and joy and wonderment, or Rachel Abbott looking for giant lizards. These kind of areas are critical to the continued development of a world in which we might well bid farewell to Agent Granger from NCIS Los Angeles. Sorry, it's just a great series. You know?
Yeah, I've never seen it, and I have no idea. I'm hoping that is who I think it is, but I never saw it.
Listen, how can you say you've not seen a series when you've got the delights of Robin from the George Clooney Batman and Robin actually taking the lead role, Chris O'Donnell?
Well, you're explaining it. You're pretty much just you're shoveling dirt onto the grave. You know, as we mentioned this week on the show when we did our top 10 worst movies of 2016. Nobody goes out of their way to make bad movies, and nobody goes out of their way, really, for the most part, to see them. The same is true of television, which explains why I have never seen NCIS Los Angeles.
And yet Lily was in NCIS New Orleans.
Was that NCIS? Was that what it was?
Yes, thank it you was for NCIS New
okay.
Orleans.
All right.
And yes,
good.
NCIS is a great... The only thing I was... Do we have any NCIS watchers in the studio? Kaylee? Yeah, so NCIS Los Angeles, NCIS Original...
Original. 100%.
So with Ducky.
NCIS Original. I love that. They should call it that, NCIS Original. That would be good.
The first ones.
Season 12 and Jethro Tubbs still keeps going. Oh, Tubbs, of course, Jethro Gibbs. Let's be honest, Tubbs was a character.
NCIS Lincolnshire, because that's coming if Trump has his way with these trade deals, I think.
The only minor thing I would say with respect to NCIS is an awful lot of people get shot, you know, it seems, on a regular basis. It's what puts me off traveling to Los Angeles, to be honest, than that number of people who are shot
then,
on NCIS Los Angeles.
Then it's doing its job, quite honestly, but... no, you know I'm not a huge fan of the violence, of the depiction, especially the depiction of just violence for the purposes of disposable diversion and entertainment. You know, violence without ramification. I'm not a huge fan of that as a state certified violence prevention specialist. So, but hey, other people love it. Other people love seeing faceless, nameless characters meet a violent, ugly demise. So good for you.
It's a way forward for the 21st century. Let's face it. You know, some people like rollerball, some people like ice hockey. It's the same kind of thing, right? I'm not equating NCIS with the sporting
scene. Rollerball and ice hockey. Yeah, you know, I can't find my notes. I was actually keeping notes on this show, and I can't find them, which drives me nuts. I had this wonderful thing that I'm going to reverse the questions, I guess. I do remember the questions because I want Kaylee to weigh in on this with her new, deep, and profound understanding of the writings of Marshall McLuhan. If I remember correctly, it was Kaylee who's reading the book, yes?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. Like I said, I can't find my notes, and I'm nothing without a teleprompter, much like an American politician. But my first question would be, given that Marshall McLuhan was Canadian, should we really care what he thought?
Of course. Everyone has a valid opinion.
Okay, even Canadians? Okay, so I do a weekly show with a Canadian, and you think that I'm saying that to illustrate that it's okay for me to joke about Canadians, but instead what I'm doing is no one knows better than me that we shouldn't pay attention to what they say. But really my question, Kaylee, is, and I'm saying it like it's a joke, but I mean it, and I don't know how far along you are in your work, but it's fascinating to me because I read it probably when I was close to your age, and Marshall McLuhan had only been dead a few years, and it was pre-internet. And you've grown up in an entirely different world where media has been transformed by technology, new technologies. And so I'm interested in how some of McLuhan's definitions of what is a hot medium versus what is a cold medium would be transformed, and how and I'm interested in what you would think about whether the internet is a hot or a cold medium.
Go, Kaylee. It's your time to shine, Miss Amphavelle.
All the knowledge. I haven't got to that part of the book, but I've just got to his medium as the massage, sort of the chapter on the first part.
It's the massage. It's a massage. It is.
Yeah, so...
I think you're maybe misunderstanding that part already, because it's not a massage. It's a message. But aside from that, there won't be any part in the book about, obviously, the internet or new technologies, but he had a very fascinating point of view about how there's certain mediums that are hot in that, if I remember correctly, Alex, and please correct if I'm wrong, but they don't invite inclusion. The work is done for you. Mm. And then there's cold mediums, like talking on the phone, like a conversation, where it is a cold medium. It invites inclusion because you have to do the work to create meaning. And he even, he said certain forms of entertainment, like cartoons, were cold mediums because they needed to be interpreted. They needed to be read. And he considered more what he called high-definition mediums, though interestingly, we didn't have high-definition technology back then. Those were hot mediums. Am I right so far? Am I getting it, Alex?
You're pretty much on message, or even on massage, depending on the sort of viewpoint.
Well, you will massage the message that I'm giving so that I seem smarter than I am.
It's called spin.
But isn't the internet a fascinating, medium, then? Because whether it's hot or cold, whether it's inclusive or exclusive, really depends on where you are, what site you're on, how that's being used. Am I the only one that finds this really fascinating? I guess I am, because that sound I hear is people all over the world changing to different internet radios.
Now, Phil, you've got to have the courage of your convictions. Natasha, thoughts on this whole notion of where we are, where we sit, you know, where we've got, you know, Facebook, we've got all sorts of other areas, we've got Skype, we've got all these multifaceted scenarios here. Is it a case of, you know, ultimately we're just getting an echo chamber, we're just listening to the bits that we like and anything else is just ignored?
I don't know. I think you've got so many different, like, facets just, like, laying on top of each other. I mean, to some extent, you've got the fact that, I think, as got mentioned earlier with Annette's piece, there's a lot more kind of ignorance and who do we trust? Do we trust the media? What do we sort of trust? Especially like a lot of Facebook stuff, they put up a lot of spiel that you necessarily have to check is true, is not true. So then you're trying to interpret that. But then again, you've got a lot of being handed it on the plate now. I know shocking figures recently being seen about how we consume a lot of news, particularly my age group, just through Facebook alone. You know, we're not going to news sites anymore or that sort of thing, which right. is obviously horrific. So I don't know, it just depends, as you were saying, what section of the web you go to. And you know, it's very different things. On one hand, we've got to interpret and wade through it to get the truth, but on the other hand, a lot of stuff is just handed to us on the plate and we're not questioning that enough, we're just accepting it.
Or we don't interpret it. I mean, Alex and I have talked about this before. My film The Truth Is Out There addresses this when we went to Institute of Noetic Science, that really is a place that studies and measures consciousness. And one of the things that people have learned is that the human brain is hardwired to seek out information sources that will agree with their pre-existing opinion, that we get chemical pleasure from being told we're right. So we seek out those sources. Also, when we read things, what we are wired to remember are the things we already knew. So it really does require a rewiring to a degree of seeking out new sources of information, different sources of opinion. And the way we rewire that is by learning firsthand that, well, learning is fun, that taking on new challenges is fun, that growing is fun. And that's what has to become the pleasure principle that, transforms it, I think. But I had a fascinating personal experience on Facebook this last week, where I posted a photo in support of all these wondrous people who were taking to the streets in peaceful protest around the world, expressing their belief and support for issues that mattered to them. And they varied from person to person, from place to place, obviously. But what a beautiful, beautiful sight it was for me. And, of course, immediately it was as if I demanded people deride all of these participants for the violence of a few individuals, writing off everything. I even had one person link me to a headline that said the nation's capital, D.C., was descending into chaos. It took all of 15 seconds for me to go to that link to find out that the story was days old. It had nothing to do with the marches. But he saw a headline that agreed with what he perceived, so that was proof that he was right, and he linked it. And it just seems we need, one, we need to be better than that, and two, it begged the question, if this man who lives in a major urban area where there were marches believed that these marches were getting violent, then why was he sitting safely on the internet complaining about it and not going out to make sure that our sisters and our daughters and our mothers were safe and not in the line of this violence? I guess that's a different question altogether. But the one thing that I think gets overlooked as we talk about how it's terrible that people get so much news from Facebook or from social media, and people need to do better in terms of discerning the news sources and all this, there's one topic that rarely gets discussed, which is people have grown to expect that they should get their news for free. And this was never the case. The news media always needed to be supported by having local newspapers paid for. And local news was always the basis, the information gathering for national news, and not the other way around. And unfortunately, local news gathering sources have gone broke because people expect to get their news for free. And if they're going to get it for free, well, then who's going to pay people to go and actually gather the news?
Well, you're listening to my piece for BBC Humberside last night on Drive Time at 5 o'clock with Andy Comfort. It's there. You can use the iPlayer. Martina, journalism student, what are your thoughts on what Phil's been saying in terms of this whole news debate and so on? And where do you get your news from?
all sorts of different websites and even Facebook and BBC.
So just get to the microphone. That's sorry. It. Just helps, really. Otherwise, it sounds as though we've put you in the corner, you know, like some sort of Polish immigrant. You know, stand over there. Of course, you're part of the whole thing. Carry on.
Kind of BBC, The Guardian and stuff, but I think you're right. It's quite sad that kind of the traditional newspaper and magazines are kind of dying, and like young people especially don't tend to kind of read them anymore.
No longer in the face. Holly.
Yeah, it's like what we were saying earlier in the show, it's, and you said how that guy was just speaking out about the violence, but he didn't actually bother to go outside, and they're just taking the information they read online that could be, yeah, rubbish and fake, and then just kind of assuming it and building their own opinion around that. So it goes down to ignorance again, I think.
Yeah, no first-hand experience. And again, if we're not paying anyone to be our intermediaries, to be our first-hand source of gathering information, then how can we ever trust what we're seeing? There was a great show. I don't know if it ever became popular in the UK, though it starred Dominic Cooper and Idris Elba, two great stars from your fair shores. But it was an HBO series called The Wire, and it was set in the inner city in Baltimore, Maryland. And it was created by a former journalist named David Simon, and a fantastic show. But David Simon recently, in an interview, talked about how right now in the United States, this is the best time in our country's history to be a crooked politician, to be corrupt. Especially if you work at a local level, because when he was a reporter, there would be a half dozen or more reporters attending every, for example, town council or city hall meeting, asking questions, holding politicians' feet to the fire. And on this day and age, even in a major city, you're lucky if you get one reporter attending those meetings. So there's literally all of these meetings are going uncovered. And what a recipe for disaster and for corruption that is. Not because I believe that politicians who come to serve are inherently corrupt, but as the adage says, absolute power corrupts absolutely. And when there is no accountability, that sounds like absolute power to me.
Just as well, we can acknowledge that to the brain, receiving a compliment is as much a social reward as being rewarded money, which is something else we'll be echoing through the system. Because, was it Holly? Or was
I
it...
don't rule out money, though.
No,
I mean,
no, no,
feel free.
It's important. Kaylee, was it your good self or was it Holly who had the choice between numbers 2 and 27 last week?
It was me.
It was, so, Holly, which number would you like between 2 and 27 this week? To help put some final punctuation points on Phil's heartfelt and important rationale that he's just shared with us.
Oh, thank you. But still, I will take money.
11.
11. Well, this is what the universe would say you have chosen.
The secret behind miracles is that the one performing them begins without any knowledge whatsoever of exactly how they will succeed. Yet still, they begin. When you move, I move the universe. Once again, taking action saves the day.
Taking action saves the day.
Alex, do we have a moment for a request, a heartfelt request?
We always have a moment, Phil, for you. You know, I feel as every week it's a moment.
If you determine that, in fact, the midweek drive or the internet is indeed a hot medium, then could you please move it closer to my feet? Because this 5 degrees Celsius weather here in Los Angeles is killing me.
Don't worry, it'll be fine. You know, it'd be in the Fahrenheit. So move to Nashville. You know, they'll celebrate all sorts of things there.
It'll be in the Fahrenheit. I mean, you're not impressed that I just
did
the math to translate our Fahrenheit to Celsius for you?
Round of applause, please, Phil. Fantastic. Up next, as far as Siren's concerned, Eclectic Pulse, followed by Word Perfect, and then Citadel Central. It's fantastic stuff there. Thanks, certainly, this evening to Camo from Nashville, to Anna Lewis from Jersey, to Tara Bennett for more insightful reflections. Don't forget her book on Big Trouble in Little China is out there. It's out there now. It's a sensational scenario. And Big Trouble in Little China meets Escape from New York. It's going to be awesome. Thanks to Rachel Abbott, Annette Andre, Paolo Morena, and, of course, Phil Linus, who is, of course, awaiting those last two questions to be asked to him, probably in Polish or whichever language you wish to use. Martina.
Have you joined a telephonic link with us today?
Didn't understand a word she said there, actually.
I heard have you and telephonic link today.
For goodness sake. You know, what sort of area was that, Martina? Carry on.
I would certainly say that of all the telephonic links I have had, today was one of them.
That's great.
But has he enjoyed it? Has he had in a self-reflexive mode? Has he felt he's become a whole person? I mean, he hasn't even commented on Paola Moreno. You know, that could be significant. The absence of any...
I lost my notes. Yes. I think I have explained this.
Yes,
All I have to consult is my lucky President Trump astrology mood ring to tell me what to talk about.
It's understandable. And of course, you know, the other classic factor was, you know, he only mentioned in passing last week that the Lady Killers podcast was given thumbs up by somebody who actually listened to our behind the scenes.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, I mean, you need to see, I need a staff to remind me what I'm supposed to promote and what I'm supposed to promote. Yes, Alex, thank you. Alex produced and hosted a special report that people can check out about my film, The Lady Killers, and a programmer of a festival that will be showing the film reached out to let me know that, in fact, even before I think I had submitted the film, he had listened to the show and thought it made many, many relevant points.
Well, we try. In our own way. You know, we try and die, as they said in June. You know, we try and... It's a different life from that perspective. And the final question, of course, Martina, is...
Are we still on?
Yes, we are. We've got, look, it's just Buster. And then, actually, if we're really sorted, following Buster to take us round to the news, it's a little touch of Broken Stones by Paul Weller. So, you
know. We are still on. By the way, how about Paul Weller's cameo in the final episode of Sherlock? All right. Anyway, was that a spoiler? Did people know that he was in it? He was dressed up as a Viking in the final episode of Sherlock, laying dead on the floor of 221B Baker Street.
It was so much better when he was in the Jam talking about going underground, I felt, but never mind. So the next question is...
I hope you will understand me this time. will you join us next week?
I will indeed return next week.
Do you know, I've just finished episode 100 of NCIS Los Angeles, which means I've only got another 50 episodes to actually work through until actually Miguel Ferrer effectively will be no more and Agent Granger will cease to be. So it's heart-rending in many ways, as indeed the team actually said. They've lost one of their NCIS operatives. It's amazing. But still, never mind, as they say, to Holly McGrattan, Kaylee Amperville, Natasha Armstrong, and Martina Vieca. Many thanks indeed. Coming back tomorrow morning, ladies? You think, Holly?
Why not?
Natasha doesn't do mornings. It's important. It's a scheduling thing. It's all right. Martina might make it. We just don't know. But we will be having Ben Lewis and a whole heap of others. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Like pebbles on a beach, kicked around, displaced by feet.